time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Chad Erickson. Good to have you all with us on this Tuesday edition of the program. A program that includes Sam Yarnell, who will be with us coming up in 10 minutes. We'll handicap the Eastern and Western Conference Stanley Cup playoffs. Get into that. We'll talk about the retirement of Devontae Parker, but not in the context that you might be expecting us to talk about it. Major League Baseball through the first 50 games. Caitlin Clark is 0-4. This feels like a Billy Joel song. If I could just figure out a way to make it rhyme, it'll all work. Kurt Heelan hanging out with us on the show. Pro Basketball Talk at NBCSports.com is his jam, and he gets the leadoff spot today. We were saying off the air, he's my Mookie Betts because he's in L.A. So he's my.
Hey,
he's,
I'm good. By the way, Caitlin Clark's putting up numbers. Like, she's actually playing okay. It's just welcome to a different level of competition where you alone are not the answer.
She's turning over the ball a lot too, though.
Yeah,
and she's having trouble defending. She had five fouls again. Like, it is a mixed bag. And I know people are going to try and just play up the positives and not speak about the negatives, but she turns it over a lot. I thought from day one the biggest issue she was going to have was the physicality. This is a whole nother level. And she will adjust, great players do, but the physicality of the WNBA, we don't think of it. And again, it's because there are these stereotypes that are built into this stuff, and I know we're going afield here, far afield, but there's these stereotypes. Women's professional basketball is physical.
Very. Very play below the rim because it's like it's just a little different. But also, remember right before when she was going into the draft and several ex-players got a lot of online flack for going, man, it's going to be an adjustment. It's just not going to be that easy for her.
Yep,
she's going to be good, but like you don't just walk in and dominate the league. You just don't. It's too good.
Yep, I agree with that. Let's talk about the conference finals. We're going to go a little backwards here, and I want to talk about the West first, even though that series kicks off on Wednesday night, because it is the far more compelling series. Yeah. I'm going to say it right now. Narrowly, but I like the Mavericks. I said I liked them against the Thunder, and I was right. I definitely didn't have the T-Wolves on my bingo card for the conference finals, but here they are. They obviously earned it. We could talk all day about the Nuggets sort of just mailing in game six and taking their chances on a game seven and then not being able to flip the switch. I like the Mavericks in this series. Tell me your thoughts.
I have Minnesota in seven, but it's a coin flip of a series to me. Like it's really going to come down to, look, Luka's knee is one of the big issues. He is not still, I mean, he put up 24, 10, and 8, almost 9 last series. But he's not got the same lift. He's not got the same explosiveness. And now he's going to have Jaden McDaniels in his face with Rudy Gobert lurking behind him. He's going to have to find a way to step up. But the other key in this series, and I'm not worried about Ant, he'll be fine. The role players, right? Like Kyrie Irving's going to probably have to score more. He can't just kind of be the glue guy he kind of was last series, scoring when he needed to, but doing all this other stuff. Karl Anthony Towns, Jaden McDaniels had big, 44 across the final 2 games. Those are the guys that are going to matter because these are two very good defensive teams. And I'm with you. It's if you told me Dallas wins, I'm good with that. I'm going to take Minnesota in seven because I like their depth and I like their role players with Mike Conley and all those guys. But this is a great series and a great chess match of a series.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, look, the biggest eye-opener to me on Minnesota, if I were to go with Minnesota, is they won that game seven without getting much of anything from Anthony Edwards.
No, but he also did what great
did other things. I get it. I know what you're going to say, but yes.
He did the other things, but and he hit a couple key shots, but that maturity for a 22-year-old is impressive.
His year one to year two, and I know we've probably talked about this before, so I don't want to belabor it, but his year one to year two progression from a maturity standpoint, some of the off-the-court stuff, to the way he's carried himself on the court in post games. I mean, the whole package. And I know some people always will go overboard, prisoner to the moment, Michael Jordan. But, I mean, his year one to year two, it's just, I don't think you could say enough.
He's made a leap, and he's also come up with the marketing slogan now on the tours. If you go to visitminnesota.com, it just says, bring your ass. Like, he said it to Charles Barkley. They have gone and gotten after it. Like, it's great.
That might be the greatest thing ever said on this show by you. Bring your ass. Can we go back to the Nuggets for a second, though? I mean, I talked about it on Friday's show. When they lost Game 6 as badly as they did, which was really a head-scratcher when you consider what had taken place the prior three games, that they just mailed in Game 6. And look, this was kind of the modus operandi of this team this year, was just flipping switches on and off, on and off. And look, through the first half of Game 7, that everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, that reserve that they've been drawing from all year, it just wasn't there. And I thought it was surprising just how much in the postgame you heard Mike Malone talk about it, Nikola Jokic talk about it, the strain and the wear and tear of being repeat champions and all that comes with. And I'm sitting there going, man, you want to be considered the great. Yeah, winning one title is nice. And I tweeted it out. You beat a play-in team in the Heat the year before. I feel like it takes some of the shine off what they did last year. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't really see it that way, but I think that they may be more, and Jokic in particular, may be more Tim Duncan than Kobe Bryant, in the sense that Tim Duncan's got five rings, Kobe's got five rings. We can compare resumes all day long, but Kobe sticks in the cultural zeitgeist a little bit because of the personality, but also because three in a row, two in a row, right? Like, he had these great teams where it wasn't just steady and we're really good every year and we're going to win because we're really good some years and it's good enough. Like, it's just a different situation. And Denver may be more that Spurs team. They've got to build their depth back up. Man, they missed Bruce Brown and what he brought. Not just Bruce Brown, but what he brought. They missed that something fierce. They missed that depth.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. One last thought, because you're a guy that's been in those press conferences and has asked those questions, like the one that was asked of Malone the other night. It's got to frustrate you doing what you do for a living. I know it pissed me off, and I've only had to do it a couple of times. I mean, I dealt with a cranky Jim Calhoun. It's got to piss you off a little bit to see a coach react that way, doesn't it?
A little. In that heat of the moment, when you grab guys just after a loss, you get what you get sometimes.
And you can hear, and you can literally hear the Timberwolves on the other side of the wall celebrating. Like, so that.
I get where he's at. I don't know. Personally, it's because I come out of a news reporting background. And I've been cussed at by senators. I've had the whole thing. So it doesn't bother me that much. But I get it. It was kind of over the line.
We're coming back with more Kurt a little later on.
Over 13 million Americans were affected by identity theft in 2022, and the threats go way beyond just credit card fraud. Today's identity thieves can use your information in ways that are easy to miss by just monitoring accounts and credit, like opening loans, transferring home titles, even committing crimes.
Someone got my Social Security number, made a driver's license, and was used for criminal activity.
You can do so much with a Social Security number that I didn't know could happen. They drained my bank account. It was terrifying.
You're even more vulnerable than you realize. Your information is exposed through online shopping, banking, even corporate data breaches. No wonder there's a new victim of identity theft every 3 seconds. Only LifeLock alerts you to the widest volume of threats all in one place. Like someone trying to use your Social Security number, open a new loan in your name, or even commit a crime in your name.
There was a big yes button and there was a big no button. I clicked, that's not me, and LifeLock took it from there.
If you become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will be assigned to your case and work to fix the issue on your behalf.
If something happens, you have somebody fighting for you.
All LifeLock members are backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package, including reimbursement for stolen funds, personal expenses, and coverage for lawyers and experts up to $1 million. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. With LifeLock, it's easy to help protect yourself.
I will be with LifeLock forever.
Join the millions of people already protected by LifeLock. And for a limited time, save 25% on your first year with promo code 25TV. All plans include a 60-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-710-7531 or visit LifeLock.com/25TV to save 25% on your first year of identity theft protection. Enroll now.
Attention families with a loved one in a nursing home. If your loved one has suffered from bed sores, falls, broken bones, dehydration, or even death, you may be entitled to a substantial settlement. If you have a loved one who is injured in a nursing home, we will find out what happened. State violations are found against nursing homes every day. You have a limited time to file your claim, so don't wait. Call 800-398-5999 and speak with one of our attorneys. The call is confidential and free.
We'll get back to Kurt Heelen in 10 minutes, doing some NBA conference championship previews. Did the West. We'll do the East. Something to consider still to come. Interesting thought on the retirement of one NFL player. And something I'm expecting to see more of. I'll explain. Also, odds and ends. Oh, a special birthday for somebody that Sam Yarnell is very passionate about. We will celebrate that. We will mourn the Indiana Fever's winless start to the season. But they're getting better. So we'll get to that, too. But Sam Yarnell, let's handicap these NHL Stanley Cup Conference Finals a little bit. We've got, I think we are in a great place as we get ready for these Conference Finals. I think both series are going to be bangers. I think both of them are going to be long. But picking a winner, look, obviously I'm not going to pick against the Rangers. I think they've earned that through the first, couple of rounds, for a few rounds of the postseason, against a great Panthers team that proved its mettle yet again with a series win against the Bruins. Where are you right now if you're looking to place a few shekels on the Stanley Cup Conference Finals?
Yeah, Jason, I agree with you. I think that we're going to get two very long series. I mean, you've seen that from both of these teams. I think all of these teams in the Western Conference have played a game seven. Both of the remaining teams in the Western Conference have already played a game seven in this postseason. You have to expect that we're going to get a seven game series out there between the Stars and the Oilers. It was tough to see the Canucks blow that one on Monday night and let the Oilers just dominate them early, and not able to finish the comeback, obviously. Very, very tough to see that out of Vancouver. We'll root in Edmonton, though, because you got to root for one of the Canadian teams. We need a Canadian Cup eventually, a non-COVID Canadian Cup. I think that this Oilers team can probably get it done in the Western Conference. The Dallas Stars have been unbelievably hot. They've obviously been riding the hot goaltending of Jake Oettinger, who seems to be a playoff hero for them year in and year out. But give me Connor McDavid, one of the best, if not the best player in the world right now, and Leon Draisaitl, who has been absolutely red hot in these playoffs. So in the West, I would probably go with the Oilers in terms of a handicapping perspective, also because they're the dog. You can get them in the series price plus a game and a half, and that would probably be the safest bet, and the bet that I would like the most is Oilers plus a game and a half. And I do the same thing with the Rangers, Jason. I'm with you. I think that the Rangers will at least be able to take that game seven games, or take that series seven games against the Florida Panthers, who are a stacked team. And trust me, Sam Bennett, like we talked about during that Boston series, has all the momentum behind him. And it seems like that Florida fan base and that Florida team have really rallied around that group and that locker room, or that dressing room, I should say. All that said, when you talk about the Rangers team between Zibanejad and Trocheck and this offense that has been producing at such a high rate, not to mention Igor Shesterkin standing on his head nearly 7 days a week for this team. Give me the Rangers plus the game and a half. I'll take both dogs in both of these series.
It's kind of funny. And this is just a broader point, moving away from the odds for just a second. Of all the non-typical hockey places, we've seen Arizona, which struggled. Atlanta struggled in terms of garnering support for NHL hockey. It's remarkable to me that of all the places that has that the NHL has thrived in that are non-hockey places, for Christ's sakes, the Miami Marlins, the Marlins, baseball in Florida, Tampa Bay Rays, baseball in Florida, spring trainings, everything, cannot do anything, okay? Can't do anything, can't draw crickets. Hockey in Florida. Who would have thought it?
Well, and outside of the Panthers this year, right, you had the Lightning go on their cup run of the late 2010s and early 2020s. I mean, Florida has very good hockey, ironically, as it is, right? And Dallas on the other side as well. All these warm weather states with these hockey teams making deep runs. I will say, Jason, there are two series-long props that I'm looking at for both of these series. The first one, I kind of just mentioned it, was Shesterkin standing on his head so much for this team. There's a prop on FanDuel right now, Igor Shesterkin to record 25 plus saves in every game of this series, plus 390. Love this number. Did it in every game against Carolina, and quite frankly, I like the Florida offense more than I like the Carolina offense. I think they get more shots on net in this series. Give me Igor Shesterkin, 25-plus saves in each game of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then in the Western Conference Final, I'll take Leon Draisaitl to record 1 point in every game of the series. He did this in all seven games of the Vancouver series, and he did it in three of the five games of their first round series against the Kings. So we'll ride with Leon Draisaitl. We'll ride with Igor Shesterkin. Those are going to be my two plays for these conference finals.
How about overtime? I like two overtime games.
Yeah, that's always a safe bet.
One overtime is too much juice. It's minus 330. But two overtime games, Plus 165.
Yeah.
Kind of like it.
Sure. I'd even go three if there's a number on three.
There's three. I tell you, the number on three is kind of juicy. 750.
Yeah, that's worth a sprinkle to me because I think about how, especially, are you talking about the Rangers series?
Yes, yes. I'm talking about the Rangers series.
So think about how the Rangers Carolina actually think about how both of the Rangers series have gone so far this season. Not only the series with the Capitals, well, as close as or as much of a blowout as that series was, those games were close for, you know, basically all but one period in every game. And then obviously the Hurricane series. I would definitely take that because you think about the Panthers and Bruins series on the other side. I'd go three games with a little sprinkle, but I'd play the two as a full unit play.
I like it. I like it. Conference finals get started on Wednesday if they're not preempted by a WNBA game on ESPN. Oh, we don't have enough time. Florida and the Rangers Wednesday night at Madison Square Garden. At least the Garden will be rocking for something because it won't be for the Knicks. We're coming back with more of Curt Heelan. NBA Conference Championship talk. Don't go anywhere. All right, let's get it back to the NBA. After a little hockey talk on the show, we'll do some baseball in 10 minutes. Whipping it around today. My man, Curt Heelan, pro basketball talk at NBCSports.com, rejoins us for the conversation after heading back into the virtual green room. All right. So we did the West, and the reason I did the West is I just think it's a more compelling series. Although there is something that compels you to the Eastern Conference Final in that, to me, all the pressure is on Boston. Indiana, to me, is playing with house money because if the Knicks are even remotely healthy, the Knicks win that series. So the Pacers find themselves in a NBA Eastern Conference Final. I don't think, frankly, they might not have even thought that they belonged in if the Knicks had been healthy. But here they are. All that having been said, with the Knicks basically having every starter injured by the time the postseason ends, I'm not bitter about it or anything.
I was going to say, you seem to be taking that very well.
I am not dealing with it well. It's just such a grueling season. But make the argument. I mean, Indiana, and I know we don't generally do a ton of gambling stuff with you. Indiana's plus 700 to win this series. You got to wager $1,100 to win $100 on the Boston Celtics. Can you make an argument for Indiana? I like the idea of them potentially stealing game one, but can you, especially with no Porzingis, but make an argument for them if you can.
The argument is this. A, I don't think they're frauds. Like you said, I think this is a legitimately good team that defends better. And they're going to play fast. They're going to put up points. The argument is Tyrese Halliburton isn't slowed by the trio of White and Holiday and Jaylen Brown that they're going to throw at him. And the other thing, Boston shoots itself in the foot. Like, if you're – don't bet a Boston sweep. Just don't. Like I don't offer much gambling advice. Don't do it. Like, they're just – they never sweep. They will throw away one game in this series. But if Boston throws away a game, let's say it's game one or game two at home, and then the Pacers have one of those hot shooting games and Halliburton gets loose and they steal one and suddenly you're in game six, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the argument is, if you're going to make one, is that Boston's going to once again be a little too cool for school and not take this seriously and themselves.
I will give you the other argument that I think goes in favor of Indiana. The Knicks series, that series prepared them well for this. What Boston has gone through, and I think we talked about this last week, what Boston has gone through in this postseason, which is really very little, if no adversity at all, even though both series, I think, were 1-1 going to game three, you never felt like Boston was in trouble. The Heat shot the lights out in game two in a performance you knew they couldn't repeat. Same thing for the Cavaliers in game two in Boston. You never felt either of those two teams had a shot to beat the Celtics. This feels different, especially with no Porzingis. If Indiana can get game one as opposed to game two, and now make Boston face a little bit of pressure in a game two, a game they're going to have. I mean, I'm trying to make an argument. Halliburton cannot disappear for the stretches of time that we've seen him disappear against the Knicks, too. That's the other thing. There are times where is he on the floor? Or is he on a minutes restriction? He's on the court. He's just not doing anything.
Yeah. In the face of defensive pressure from the Knicks, look, his instinct is to set other guys up. He cannot have single-digit shot attempt games. He just cannot. He has to assert himself as the best. Look, if they're going to win the series, he is going to be the best player in the series. He has got to step forward and be that guy. And I think that, again, I think that's the argument. I picked the Celtics in five. I don't think the Pacers can pull that off. But the argument, I am with you in this sense. They're coming in playing harder with more desperation and more energy, and that could knock the Celtics back a little, like in the first game or two, like just catch them a little off guard. I think you're going to see that in the finals. I don't care which team comes out of the West. They're going to be sharper and more physical than Boston's had to be.
I'm kind of surprised you said five, though, because and again, not to go into the gambling too much, but 5.5 is the total, over under 5.5. I kind of like the over. I think it goes six. Over is +120. Under is -185. I kind of like the over. I think it's at least a six game series.
That's not crazy at all. Like I said, I don't think Boston's playing with the urgency needed to make me think, oh man, they're going to roll this. They're going to win on talent, and that probably happens in five or six games.
Just for fun, if Boston doesn't win this series, is there any way Joe Mazzulla survives?
That's a really good question. There would be wholesale discussions again of, can Tatum and Brown play together? What do you have to do to get? But I think Mazzulla would come into question too. I bet he would survive. He actually, I think, coached really well this year and got a lot out of them. But if that urgency isn't there, if they lose this kind of series, then is that about the coach, or is that something inherent to that locker room that you've got to change? Do you need your Pat Beverly? And I'm not saying Pat Beverly specifically, but who's the guy in there who lights the fire?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair question. One note on the NBA, and I don't know what the answer is to this, and maybe you do. What are the Lakers going to do at the coaching position right now. I've heard Sam Cassell. I'm hearing J.J. Reddick. God, they need to get Reddick. I love Reddick. I like him on First Take and all this stuff and his podcast. But my God, the broadcast booth on ABC right now is tough. I mean, with him and Doris and Breen, I feel bad for Breeny because he lost his guys. But I mean, is there a favorite in the clubhouse right now for that LA coaching job in the final minute we have with you?
They are high on Reddick reportedly, and I've heard this as well. They like Reddick as in theory. They're going to see how it goes. But do you really want to? Is that a LeBron hire? Is he really ready for the job? Or do you need to go get James Borrego or somebody who's done the job before? Or at least Cassell or David Adelman or somebody who's been an assistant, you know, in a long time. So my guess is we'll see which direction they go. By the way, I'm going to tell you now, the reports out there that LeBron James has got nothing to do with this. Yeah, that might be a smokescreen.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's hands-on. I'm just saying the idea that he is completely hands-off is and doesn't have the emperor's thumbs up, thumb down at the end of this thing is crazy.
That's Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk at NBCSports.com. Go and check out his work there. I always appreciate you, my friend. Have a great week.
You too. Take care, man.
We're coming back.
Attention families with a loved one in a nursing home. If your loved one has suffered from bed sores, falls, broken bones, dehydration, or even death, you may be entitled to a substantial settlement. If you have a loved one who was injured in a nursing home, we will find out what happened. State violations are found against nursing homes every day. You have a limited time to file your claim, so don't wait. Call 800-398-5999 and speak with one of our attorneys. The call is confidential and free.
Baseball takes center stage on Sports Wrap on this Tuesday. Good to be hanging out with you. He's much more than just a pretty face, that Sam Yarnell. Smile. Smile. There you go. See, you look so much better when you smile. You should be smiling. Because it's baseball talk, and you love baseball. Let's go into it a little bit here. We're at about the 50-game point of this Major League Baseball season. I thought it'd be fun to take a little stock, or maybe dump a little stock, depending on the team we're talking about, in this baseball season. I wish I had our picks in front of us. I don't have them in front of me. I wish I had our picks in front of us that we made at the start of the season so we could kind of monitor where we are now. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow a little bit on the show if we have a few minutes. But just talking about sort of where we are at this stage of the season. And look, let's be honest about it. It's the Yankees and the Dodgers right now are the class of Major League Baseball. And obviously, the Phillies are part of that conversation as well. I think they have the best record in the West right now, last I checked. And the Yankees have been, you know, the beasts of the East. And I started with the Yankees from this perspective. There's really no holes here. There's no holes in this team right now. I even talked about it the other day with David Ardsma on that other baseball show. We got into it a little bit, which is kind of a sister show to Sports Wrap that just focuses on baseball, and David and I do it every week. It's available in vodcast form. Go check it out. But I don't even know where you're putting, you know, who's coming out of this rotation right now. When Gerrit Cole does come back, David and I were talking about it. I think you're in a position, if you're the Yankees right now, to go six-man rotation, although I don't know if that's in that organization's DNA, to do something that's that radical. Even though they are an analytics-based organization, it would kind of surprise me if they did that. But I don't know who you're taking out of that rotation. Everybody's pitching well. You know, so the Yankees have some interesting questions that they have to deal with in terms of the roster, Jason Dominguez, all of that. But let's be honest, they're the best team right now in the American League. We can say what we want about the Orioles, and by the end of the year, it might be the Orioles. That is another team that is stacked from top to bottom. We haven't talked that much about Gunnar Henderson, but right now, to me, it's the Yankees and the Orioles and just about nobody else really in the AL. And I know you're going to say the Royals, I know.
Yeah, there are a couple to throw in there. The Royals have been very good. The Cubs have been surprisingly good. Shout out to those of you who listen to the show and bet that Royals Cubs parlay before the season. We are looking great on our 30-1 bet over there.
30-1.
You cannot discount what the Philadelphia Phillies have done. And nope. Yes, as much as we may sit here and talk about the New York Yankees with the affiliated New York bias on the show, it's amazing that the Yankees have performed as well as they have without having with the woes that their pitching staff has had. Right? They
don't have
a single pitcher in the top 10 in ERA. They don't have a single pitcher in the top 10 in WHIP. They don't have a single pitcher in the top 10 in pitching WAR, but they're still figuring out how to send Luis Gil out there for 7 innings and get the win.
14
and
strikeouts
wins out of Nestor Cortez and Marcus Stroman, who's having a nice turnaround in his career this year after a fall off last season. It's been impressive to see what the Yankees have done.
They're credit the top to their front team office. In ERA in the American League at 2.86. I mean, it's hard to argue with what they have done from a pitching standpoint. For me, I'm talking first pitcher to last pitcher, Clay Holmes being not so great last night, for the first time this year, getting roughed up by the Mariners. Hello, Dave Sims. Hey now. But, I mean, 2.86, it's hard to argue when they've basically got the best ERA in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's why, and I feel like every year we have one of these teams, and it's, you know, we're talking about it more this year because naturally it's the New York Yankees, but it always seems like there's one team. Last year, for instance, it was the Miami Marlins, right? They piecemeal together just some weird collective of pitchers and have an astoundingly low ERA. It's been truly impressive to see, and you wonder if the Yankees, and specifically Aaron Boone, famously not an analytics guy, have kind of turned more to the analytics, because we all know that the analytics forward front offices are the ones who usually discover these things. I'm glad to see that the Yankees have kind of made this turn and turned this corner, and truly, without Gerrit Cole, this team has done something that I don't think any of us foresaw.
The Dodgers. You know what the sad part is about the Dodgers, unlike the Yankees, who haven't necessarily been a great regular season team here over the last few years? They make the playoffs, but they haven't been a great regular season team. The Dodgers, I don't think anything matters what they do in the regular season. I don't think any of it matters. It's going to be solely judged. I mean, they can win 110 games, and nobody's going to bat an eye at it, because everything boils down to what that team does in the postseason. That's just reality, fairly or unfairly. I don't know if there's a more meaningless 162-game schedule for a team than them.
So, naturally, that is what we're here to say when a team goes out and spends $2.5 billion in the offseason on personnel. Of course. I do think, though, that there are individual aspects of the Dodgers that have still, as you know, it's wild to say this, but as mediocre as they've been for the expectations with which we entrusted them, there have been some incredible narrative, like Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the Yamamoto Imanaga Cy Young Rookie of the Year battle is going to, hopefully, barring injury, go down to the last week of the season. It is going to be wild to see how that plays out. And that's just one of the narratives around this Dodger team.
We'll do more baseball tomorrow, because I feel like we short shrift a couple of teams. But we will do more baseball tomorrow on the show, I promise you. We're coming back. Something to consider next.
What's up, guys? What I'm about to show you is going to change the way you shave your head forever.
You can shave your head in 90 seconds or less.
With no cuts or nicks. It's 100% waterproof.
It even works in the shower.
Introducing Remington's Balder Boss. With increased flex and 5 dual-track floating head design, get over 60% more head coverage for a faster, closer shave and skin-close results.
No nicks, no scrapes. Fit in the palm of my hand, and the results were amazing.
Shave in the shower, floor with any foam or gel with Japanese-grade steel blades. Plow through the thickest of hair anytime, anywhere. There's even a pop-up trimmer to complete your perfect groom. Now, you can try the Remington Balder Boss in your home for 30 days for just $14.99. Complete with a 5-year limited warranty and 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can also get our ear, nose, and brow trimmer free. Just pay separate processing and handling.
Give it a try. You won't be disappointed.
Order your Balder Boss now.
All right, odds and ends coming up in about 10 minutes. Happy birthday greetings going out to one special NFL player. Winless greetings going out to another. And a tweet on X today that got me very excited. We'll get to that coming up. Patrick McEnroe on the show tomorrow, by the way, will join us before he heads off to Roland Garros for the French Open. We'll get some thoughts from him on what feels like a wide open tournament this year, especially on the men's side. We'll get into it with him on that. All right, something to consider, Sam Yarnell. Devontae Parker announced his retirement from the NFL on Monday at the age of just 31. And I believe 9 years in the league, I believe it was, for Devontae Parker. Spent some time with the Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken. Finished his career with the Patriots. That'd be enough to make me retire. But here's an interesting thought. While you don't think of Devontae Parker in the pantheon of great receivers, you don't think of Devontae Parker. There's an overarching theme to this, and I thought we would see it more several years ago with the salaries that a lot of these guys in the NFL make. While there are a number of guys who are non-guaranteed that don't make a lot of money, Devontae Parker in his NFL career in 9 years made, I think the number, and I might be off by $1 or $2 million amongst friends, $53 million he made over the course of his 9-year career, which is what allows you to retire at 31 if you choose to do so. And that's just salary. That's not endorsement money. That's nothing outside of just football salary, $53 million. And it makes me often wonder why more guys don't retire younger. Because a lot of guys do make that kind of money. There are a lot of NFL players. If I went through, you know, over on SpoTrack or SpoTrack, whatever it's called, and ran through all these guys, there's a lot of guys, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that make that kind of money. Yet very few choose to, you know, keep their brains from getting scrambled or their legs from being mangled and retire at a younger age. Devontae Parker could retire at 31 and go enjoy his children, which was part of the reason he said he retired, because he made so much money in a 9-year period. I find it interesting. And look, quarterbacks are different, because there's a lot that comes with being a quarterback, but it makes me wonder why more guys don't retire young. I thought it was a trend we would see more 5 or 6 years ago. I remember having this conversation with somebody. I'm surprised more guys don't retire younger from the sport.
From football specifically, guys don't retire younger because there are only 32 first-round picks every year. Everything Jason just said, the fact of the matter is, speaks to the luxuries that first-round picks have over second-round, third-round, fourth-round, let alone day-three picks. We all remember Devontae Parker at Louisville, 3 straight seasons, 40-plus receptions, 700-plus yards. The dude was a dog, and that's why the Miami Dolphins drafted him 14th overall, if you remember, back to try and build around Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Build a team that could compete with the New England Patriots. So they threw the bag at Devontae Parker with the first-round pick money. He was guaranteed his bread for 4, if not 5 years, and then he signed another deal with New England because he was the only target in Miami for so long. At the end of the day, very few people have this luxury. It doesn't surprise me at all that we don't see it more, because so many first round picks, like secure their bag, get the second bag, and then retire. We see this not infrequently around football because of the structure of the fifth year option. And quite like a perfect example of someone who we will see retire at this age is Justin Fields. Justin Fields will get one more mid-level contract because he was a first round pick, and he'll retire after that because he won't be needed anymore. And he'll quite frankly be not athletic enough to play what he's needed to play to be in the NFL. But when we have first round picks taken and the value that the league and the players union has put around a first round pick, we're going to see this frequently.
I'm curious. I want to go through and look. I'm going to go do a little homework after the show today. And look at, you know, sort of what the average salary at certain positions are. And the averages could get skewed by guys who make more of those, so that may not be fair either. But I've always thought that you'd see more guys retiring younger because of just how much money you're able to make in such a short period of time. That if you're not chasing rings, what are you going to hang around for? You know, and play on a crappy team and risk injury. I just don't see it.
Think about this too. In the more recent time, you're going to get an even more skewed number when you go and look at that, because you're in a day and age where NIL is quite literally driving up the price of rookie contracts in the NFL. Yeah. It's a very interesting time with sports, because, and I'm curious, when we look back on this in 10, 15, 20 years and study it, how the paying of college athletes directly and indirectly impacted their move to professional athletes, but also professional athletes who are already established in those leagues and had not reaped the benefits of NIL when they were in college. It's a wild development across sports. And again, you know, like Jeff Passan says with the Shohei Ohtani thing, we're in the bottom of the first inning with all this.
Yeah, it's funny too. We only have about 20 seconds here, but I wonder if NIL money will get so ridiculous that guys won't even need to go play professionally if they don't want to. Just make your killing in college, get your degree, and then go do whatever you want to do. We're coming back. Odds and Ends are next. All right, just about time to say goodbye on this Tuesday edition of the show. Don't forget, check out the podcast vodcast version of the program, available on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, you name it. We're on them. Patrick McEnroe on the show tomorrow to preview the French Open. But now time for some odds and ends. Odds and ends, Sam Yarnell. I don't got one for this. I do not have a clever rejoiner for this. Happy birthday, Josh Allen. Happy birthday to you. If you could give Josh Allen a birthday present that will help him win a Super Bowl for next season, Sam Yarnell, what would it be?
Jason, that's easy. A wide receiver one.
WR1.
T. Higgins? Do I hear Brandon Ayuk? Any of those options work. Someone that'll catch passes and actual touchdowns, not named Curtis Samuel or a rookie. Thanks.
There's so many great quarterbacks, though, that never win Super Bowl. He might just be one of those guys. But I mean, it's not a him problem. At the end of the day, Josh Allen's good enough to win a Super Bowl. But if you don't have competent management, and you've talked about this yourself. I remember us just having a conversation with Ross Tucker about this. Do I got to go get our friend Tim Graham on the show? I mean, Do I need to take such extreme measures, Sam Yarnell? I mean, we've also talked about this. Some guys are born into great franchises that are well run. Some guys aren't. Josh Allen, great player. He's on the Buffalo Bills. Enough said. And at the end of the day,
I'm speechless.
What are you going to do?
Come on. It's a top-down problem.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yes, it's absolutely a top-down problem. All right. Ends to the Indiana Fever. 0-4. Depressing for Caitlin Clark and the WNBA.
Four losses and you're closing the book on them already. My gosh.
They're 0-4. Kudos, by the way, to the great Rebecca Lobo. Only one team has started off worse than the Fever and made the playoffs, and that was the LA Sparks, who started out 0-7 and got a 4 seed. I don't know what year it was. So I mean, look, there is precedent for the Fever. I mean, look, they're 10% of the season's already done. I mean, you know, it's not like I've said this before. It's not like the NBA where you could start out in a hole and kind of work your way out. They're having some struggles right now. But, hey, they're playing better. They're playing better. So if you want to get excited about something, I guess right now with the Indiana Fever, they lost by just a little last night, even though Caitlin Clark had a bit of an ankle injury, it looked like, in that game. They get a win. But now NHL fans hate the WNBA because their game, as we've kind of alluded to in hinting in the show, game 7 last night, Oilers-Canucks, you went to go turn it on, and what happened? You got the WNBA on ESPN, which I get it. Look, I bet you the WNBA game probably did a bigger number than the Stanley Cup game. It probably
it's a game
did.
Seven. Jason, it's a game 7.
I agree with you. I agree. You're not going to get an argument for me.
If the situations had been flipped and it was a game 7 in the WNBA versus a regular season hockey game, I would have been like, yeah, put the WNBA on ESPN and we'll move the NHL to the ESPN2. But I feel like the game 7 should take precedent. If it were a WNBA game 7, I think it should take precedent over a regular season NBA or NHL game. But I think that a game 7 in the NBA or NHL should take precedent over a regular season WNBA game.
There are NHL fans right now screaming that the NHL needs to get out of its deal with ESPN. There are a lot of people that are not happy with the way ESPN has done hockey compared to TNT. And I thought TNT wouldn't do a good job with hockey. And I thought ESPN was going to run with this. There are a lot of people that think it's the exact opposite. I don't watch a ton of it, so I can't give a fair opinion. I'm just telling you what's being said out there in social media. Take it for what it is.
I miss the hockey on NBC with Doc Emrick. That was peak hockey. When we'd have the outdoor games with Doc Emrick on NBC, that felt like home.
Yeah, miss Doc. Hopefully he's enjoying his retirement. Speaking of retirement, oh, there it is, the silky smooth segue. Serena Williams tweeting this today on X. I'm ready to hit some balls again. Are we ready for it? She's like Cher, you know, the comeback tour. Cher, it's always the retirement tour for Cher, or the Rolling Stones. It's the retirement tour. You better catch them now. Serena's going to be like Cher, like the Rolling Stones. We're going to get one more tour. Maybe she plays the U.S. Open this year. I'd be pumped for her at the U.S. Open. Matter of fact, I will be in New York when the U.S. Open is going on, I think. Might have to go check out Serena at the U.S. Open.
Always love to see the GOAT.
She is the GOAT. And if anybody in her 40s, after popping out babies, can get on the court and still show out, be Serena Williams. Love to see her out there. It's going to do it for us today. Thank you to Kurt Heelan. Thank you to Sam Yarnell. I'm Jason Page. We'll see you back here on Wednesday for an all-new edition of Sports Wrap. Patrick McEnroe on the show then. We'll see you.